Nadia Bolz Weber calls for a sexual reformation in her latest book, Shameless. How does her reformation compare with the truths rediscovered during the 16th century Reformation? I've written a review of Shameless in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button on the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Pastor Andrew Abraham details his journey from Catholic priest to Lutheran pastor. The free online Issues Etc. journal.
Why do so much of the rest of the press not get it right? Well, because they're covering a different sport. They're heavy metal fans at the opera.
A lot of times we don't know what we believe or why we believe it, but I think I'd go even further. A lot of times we don't know how we've come to believe what we believe.
What abortion is saying is that my life can be redeemed, that my life can have a kind of resurrection or newness to it only by taking the life of somebody else.
God's saying, forgiven, justified, perfect in my sight. How are we not going to hear those and then say, really?
Lutheran professors at the University of Oklahoma love listening to Issues Etc. Boomer Sooner.
Well, if you don't know it already, you just have to watch any commercial on television, or perhaps it, I don't know that it's on the news every night because it's a whole month long thing, but Pride Month is now apparently an official thing, not only here in the United States, but elsewhere in the Western world, LGBT Pride Month. Now, there are parades, there are banners, there are flags. The now infamous rainbow flag kind of becomes the symbol for all of this. Where is God's wrath? We are told in Scripture that, especially there in the book of Romans, that God's wrath is going to be poured out against this kind of rebellion against God. Not that we wish that God would mete out his wrath here in real time, but that raises the question, is he? If God's wrath is being poured out against the kind of insolence that we see in not simply sin, but taking pride in one's sin, celebrating one's sin, celebrating someone else's sin, where is it? Where should we look for it? Is it visible? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Wednesday afternoon, June the 26th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about LGBT Pride Month and God's wrath. Pastor Mark Serberg will be our guest for the first few minutes of the program. After that, Dr. Madi Lysola will join us. He has written, co-authored a book called Heretic, One Scientist's Journey from Darwin to Design. He'll tell us the story of his conversion to intelligent design from Darwinianism. Then Colleen Carroll Campbell, longtime guest on the program, returns. She's written a new book called The Heart of Perfection. We'll talk about spiritual perfectionism with her in the second hour of the program. Joining us to discuss LGBT Pride Month and God's wrath, Pastor Mark Serberg, pastor of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Marion, Illinois, and author of a recent column titled Romans Chapter 1 and LGBT Pride Month. Mark, welcome back.
Thanks a lot.
So someone says you're going to talk about Romans chapter 1, and Romans chapter 1 is all about the righteous shall live by faith. Is that all there is to that first chapter of Paul's letter to the Romans?
Well, not quite. Certainly we focus on verses 16 and 17, and because they're thematic really for the whole book, as Paul says that he's not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God for salvation, and then the righteousness of God is being revealed there. But then the rest of the chapter, and actually verse 18, picks up on the same idea of something else being revealed, which is the wrath of God. And so in the rest of chapter 1, Paul goes on to describe how the wrath of God is being revealed against those who refuse to acknowledge him as creator and have instead chosen to worship the creation rather than the creator.
All right, I want to come back to that in a moment, but most people say, look, if it's the wrath of God being poured out, this, in biblical terms, God's wrath is a worldwide flood or the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah or something along those lines. Why aren't we seeing that?
We sort of think of these big, massive things. And that's the really interesting thing about Paul's argumentation in chapter 1. He describes how the wrath is being revealed, and it's a present tense, so it is ongoing. And then in the course of the chapter, he goes on to describe how where humanity and its fallenness has chosen to exchange truth for a lie, exchange the creator for creation, that God's response is that he has handed them over to these things. Three different times, Paul says that he has handed them over to that. And so the outworking of his wrath, in part, is God actually handing people over to the very sins they want to indulge in. And so the point that I made in this piece is when we see all of these perversions of God's gift of sexuality, they are sin, certainly, but the very practice of them, the very involvement of them, is in fact God's wrath being poured out against these individuals.
I have noticed, and maybe this is only kind of among our small circle of fellow Lutherans, an aversion to things like mention of God's wrath. We've tried to find other avenues to get there, maybe, but to speak in the stark terms that Paul does in Romans chapter 1 seems kind of out of vogue nowadays. Why are we hesitant to discuss God's wrath?
Well, I think just our culture in general, obviously, just to be tolerant, you know, all those kinds of things, and God's wrath is not tolerant at all. But as you're pointing out, these are very biblical themes. And the interesting thing is that, you know, Paul can talk about it both as something that is ongoing now, and that's what you see from verse 18 on. But then also, obviously, there's this now and not yet. So that the now is already at work. The not yet is what he goes on to describe in verse 5 in chapter 2, that the day of wrath and the revelation of the righteous judgment of God. And so it's a both and we certainly need to talk about it in those terms because this is just starkly biblical language.
What is it about this descent, this spiral down, not only into sin, but then into this series of exchanges that St. Paul talks about, that he's not just talking about, oh, all men are sinful or we're all sinners. He's speaking about the working out of sin in individuals and perhaps even in communities' lives.
The very nature of it is as people, you know, engage in sin, God gives them over to the very things they want. And this in turn, you know, Romans 1 is sort of this downward spiral. And by the time you get to the end of the chapter, he has a whole list of all of these different, people are gossips, slanders, haters, insolence, you know, all these different things that affect people in a social way. And it is the fact that sin is just sort of like circling the drain. And if you are desirous to go that way and determined to do that, then God will give you over to that. And the actual experience of those things is, you know, the outworking in the present of God's wrath, even as on the last day, I mean, the final outworking of that wrath, still awaits.
So someone's going to say, but the people, let's just say those who are not only celebrating and advocating for, but actively pushing rebellion against God and their creator during LGBT Pride Month. It doesn't feel like wrath to them. They feel happy about it. They feel like it's a celebration.
Exactly right. That's exactly right. And of course, Paul says in Romans 1, thinking themselves to be wise, they became fools. That's exactly it, that they are given over to a mind that is no longer perceiving things according to God's ordering of creation, but instead God's handed them over to exactly what they want. And so certainly, yes, it seems great. It sounds great. Now, objectively, you know, we know, of course, that all kinds of, you know, physical and psychological damage is done from these kinds of ways of living. So it certainly does play itself out in ways that are wrathful physically against them. But again, they simply choose to ignore that fact. And so that's also what Paul describes, is that God gives them over to this disordered mind that chooses to see these things as being good.
I wonder about one little bit of rhetoric that we hear with increasing frequency, not only from those who would celebrate LGBT Pride Month, it certainly does, but even within the church we hear that God made them this way. What kind of a statement is that in the context of Romans chapter 1?
Well, I mean, number one, obviously, it's ignoring what Paul Gallen described in Romans 5 in terms of the fallenness of the world. And then it's a rejection of the acknowledgement that there is an ordering that God has put in place. And if I choose to live in ways that go contrary to that ordering and declare it to be good and simply say, you know, God made me this way, what you're actually doing is you're ignoring the fact that by disobeying God, you're placing yourself under his wrath. I mean, that very statement, God made me this way, is the determination to say, I'm going to do what I want. And that is God saying, fine, you know, have at it. But that itself is God's wrath at work in your life.
Pastor Mark Serberg is our guest. We're talking about LGBT Pride Month and God's wrath in Romans chapter 1. When we come back, we'll go into a little bit more of what he mentioned before, that God's wrath here before the final day has that now but not yet quality to it. Nadia Bolz Weber calls for a sexual reformation in her latest book, Shameless. How does her reformation compare with the truths rediscovered during the 16th century Reformation? I've written a review of Shameless in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button on the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Pastor Andrew Abraham details his journey from Catholic priest to Lutheran pastor. The free online Issues Etc. journal.
An average of 20 military veterans kill themselves every day. Project Operation Barnabas is a network of LCMS congregations who reach out to veterans in their congregations and their communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces. Serving those who serve. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces, lcms.org/armedforces.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Not only does our church need men right now, but the world needs men who will proclaim the gospel in its purity.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Peter Scare, Associate Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
If when you go to sleep at night, you're thinking about it, my experience with it is this, is that thought won't go away. So if you're going to bed at night thinking about following our Lord and becoming a preacher of this gospel, then I would love if you could come and visit Fort Wayne, our campus. We'd love to show you around and show you what it is that we do.
Have you ever considered becoming a pastor? Contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu. Christ-centered, cross-focused, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about LGBT Pride Month and God's wrath. Pastor Mark Serberg is our guest. The Issues Etc. book of the month for June is called Grace, Faith, Scripture, Portrait of a Lutheran. It's a brief account of, well, I guess to put it in the best terms, the relationship that God creates, establishes, and maintains with us through his son, Jesus Christ. Portrait of a Lutheran is a good summary of that. You can find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Ask for the Issues Etc. book of the month for June. Mark, you had mentioned before the break that this wrath has that now but not yet quality to it. So now it is giving them over to a reprobate mind, giving them over to the sin that they insist on, giving them over to ultimately, I think Paul ends up with idolatry as, you know, just a rank breaking of the first commandment. How is that distinct from the wrath that is yet to come?
Well, obviously, one, as you mentioned, can live in these ways and think, hey, this is great. You know, I'm self-autonomous, doing my own thing, all those kind of, you know, all that kind of stuff. How it's different is that the eschatological day of judgment is when the final curtain comes down, and all of the lies that people have been able to tell themselves are ripped away, and they're forced to acknowledge before God as they stand before the judgment seat that they were wrong, that God's ordering is the true ordering, and that there is eternal punishment, being cut off from God, damnation, hell, as a result of that, and God's wrath is poured out in this final and definitive way in which there's no illusion at all that this is actually a good thing. And so if the wrath in the present can seem still to people like, well, this is really no big deal, I'm doing great, on the last day, it's quite the opposite. And by the same token, of course, justification is both a now and a not yet thing. Now, in Christ, I am justified. I have peace with God, even though I see ongoing struggle against sin in my life, and even though I see all of these, terrible things that can happen to me and to my loved ones. Whereas then on the last day, the final day of judgment, I am declared justified, which has been the case all along, but now I'm completely freed from any of those kinds of struggles against sin. And of course, in the new creation, there are none of those struggles going on. So the definitiveness of the final day is true both for the believer in Christ and also for those who have chosen to, indulge in the life of sin. Now, you don't see everything. Obviously, you can kid yourself. But on the last day, there is no avoiding the reality and also the finality of that reality.
Is this to say that those who have put themselves into this position of having been given over to their sin as an expression of God's wrath are beyond redemption?
Well, certainly not. And that's, of course, the interesting thing is that chapter 1 in Romans then sets up chapter 2, where Paul then turns after largely describing what we would say are the Gentile pagan world. He then turns and accuses, which is what is largely taken to be a Jewish interlocutor who would, want to readily condemn the pagans who are living that way, and then, of course, accuses him of his own sin, and in the end, by chapter 3, showing that, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So we find that all of us are in this condition of sin, and it is simply a matter of confessing that sin and turning in repentance in faith to Christ, and that the very message of the gospel, and of course that's why Paul in verse 16 of chapter 1 is talking about the power of the gospel is bringing this salvation to people, and so the call to repentance is always going forth, and the call of the gospel is going forth, and so for all sinners, there's always this opportunity. What's, of course, so frustrating, and when you see this LGBT Pride Month, is that where people are, celebrating sin, and sort of the culture reinforces them, within this sinful mindset, and it makes it just that much more difficult for people to acknowledge their sin and repent.
It is a vicious cycle in that sense, too, isn't it? That with the culture's reinforcement, and then Christians are subject to the temptation to say, okay, maybe we need to rethink this, and many, many, many of them have succumbed to that temptation. That
Absolutely.
Actually is putting these people in greater danger, isn't it?
Yes. When the church turns around and says, well, this is just another age, we've moved beyond that, and what really trumps everything is love. Yes, what we're doing is just, but the false church that acts that way is consigning them even more to, this mind that they've been given over to, that all is well when, in fact, they're trapped in sin. And so the church is failing to do what it should be doing.
So I'm trying to picture some guy kind of breaking up the party, crashing the party of LGBT Pride Month, and wearing the old sandwich board, repent, the wrath of God is on its way, or something like that. That's kind of the cartoon version. But how do we speak Paul's message in Romans chapter 1 of both law and gospel into a situation where people are being told on a daily basis that their sin is not evil, but in fact, a positive good?
Well, for starters, obviously, as a pastor, my concern is that our own members are hearing it described in this way so that they can recognize it. You know, as we interact with people who have inclinations and believe that they're gay and those kinds of things, you know, some of it is determined by the nature of our relationship. But there certainly is at least a point of contact, I think, to begin by saying, is this lifestyle really only a good thing? And there certainly is, you know, all kinds of evidence of the both psychological and physical harmful effects of that. And that perhaps provides then, you know, a point of contact to say, well, you know, this is going against the ordering of God's creation, and that in fact, this is a bad thing. And you know, and at least that is a place to begin, in sort of in a winsome way. And then there are probably just there are occasions we just have to simply be able to say, you know, that what you're doing is contrary to God's will, and it's sinful, and it is bringing God's wrath against you. And not that in the immediate moment is going to probably win someone over, but to confront sin, you know, there are times it just simply has to be done in a way that's, you know, rather upfront.
Finally, someone says to you, well, Pastor Sherberg, I know that homosexuality, transgenderism, all those things that go into LGBTQ are not the only sins. I've got my own sins. How do I know I am not among those who God has given over to their sin as an expression of his wrath?
Well, if I'm concerned about it, that's a good start to the fact that I'm not. That, you know, if I am examining my life on the basis of God's word and seeking to live in those ways that reflect his will, and the whole Christian life is a life of repentance, then I'm resting in God's grace. And so, you know, I'm not willfully hardening myself against those things. And that's where, you know, we do have to continue to test our lives against God's word. And that's where also the exhortation that comes from Scripture, exhorting us how to live, becomes a guide for us. And so that is something that continues to serve as a touchstone to see what is going on in life. And when I see that it's wrong, then, you know I'm willing to repent. So that is the attitude of life, rather than, I know God's word says it's wrong, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Pastor Mark Sherberg is pastor of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Marion, Illinois, author of a recent column titled Romans Chapter 1 and LGBT Pride Month. Read it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Mark, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
We will be tracing a story of a scientist's conversion from Darwinism to intelligent design with Dr. Madi Lesola right after this break. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
Discover a truly Lutheran approach to education. Concordia University Chicago's Center for the Advancement of Lutheran Liberal Arts supports a vibrant, growing community of classical educators. Whether you're a teacher, administrator, parent, or homeschooler, we have the resources and contacts you need to start a child's journey into the Lutheran Liberal Arts. Visit cuchicago.edu/cala. That's C-A-L-L-A.
From fast facts to FAQs, overtures to offerings, get the inside scoop on the upcoming National Convention of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in the June issue of The Lutheran Witness. Special pre-election coverage includes biographies, personal statements, and interviews introducing readers to each of the three men nominated to serve as Synod President. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Trinity Lutheran Church, LCMS, of Tryon, North Carolina, also serves the South Carolina upstate. We uphold the confessional standard of the Evangelical Lutheran Church. We follow the apostolic practice of celebrating the Lord's Supper each Lord's Day using a biblical historic liturgy. Our small parish is teeming with little ones, along with many of retirement age. Several Issues Etc. listeners have been welcomed into Christ's fold here from outside Lutheranism. We invite any unchurched in the area to join us at 10:15 each Sunday.
Our cities are some of the greatest mission fields on the planet, but the footprint of the church is shrinking. We dare not shrink from our cities. Christ is needed now in our urban areas. From chaos, turmoil, decay, death, and destruction, Jesus brings peace, hope, resurrection, eternal life, and rebuilding. And you can help by being a hero for the city. Find out how at lcms.org/citymission or on Facebook at LCMS City Mission. Every city needs a hero. Capes and helmets not required.
Lutheranism in the public square. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Inglewood, California. Zion Lutheran, Pleasant Plains, Illinois. Peace Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri. Mount Olive Lutheran, Duluth, Minnesota. Bethlehem Lutheran, Parma, Ohio. Messiah Lutheran, Keller, Texas. Mount Zion Lutheran, Greenfield, Wisconsin. Emmanuel Lutheran, Eagle, Nebraska. St. Paul Lutheran, Hamel, Illinois. Our Savior's Lutheran, Ridgecrest, California. Trinity Lutheran, Fredericktown, Missouri. And Memorial Lutheran, Houston, Texas. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at the website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.